Hallelujah. Because we look at Judas, John chapter 17. One of the scriptures many of you quote to finish Judas and justify yourself that you are better than Judas. This is the way in his prayer, verse 12. He said, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." That is where many of us finish him, because the Antichrist is also referred to as the son of perdition. And because the Antichrist lives in church, because the Antichrist is referred to as the son of perdition, and we see him in Revelation chapter 20 in the white throne judgment. We see him, the son of perdition, put in the lake of fire. Therefore, we conclude that Judas will also end up in the lake of fire. But there is a marked difference you must see between these two sons of perdition. Number one, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number one, Jesus Christ. He said somewhere, all. Come, let's open it. That should be John chapter 6. Hallelujah. I think, yes. Verse 37. He said, listen, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father, take note, these statements are very weighty. And I have my learned colleague there that knows the weight of every statement in law. Because you are going to quote it back to the Father in the throne of judgment. All that the Father gave it me shall come to me. And watch it. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Did the Father give Judas to Jesus? Is it the Father that gave Judas to Jesus? And this is the will of him that sent me. Verse 40. That everyone which seeth the Son, see that is understanding him, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Where is the emphasis? The emphasis at the last day, the resurrection day. That is where the emphasis is. That you die now does not mean your end. Your end will be determined only after the resurrection. If you don't partake of the resurrection, you are finished. But here is the evidence. He says that all the Father gave it to me. Because if you go to verse 44, he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. All the disciples that Jesus Christ had, the Father gave him. Judas did not come to join them. The Antichrist comes to join the body. The Antichrist is not called by God. The Antichrist is put there by Satan. But Judas was not put there by Satan. Judas was called like Peter was called. The same criteria fitted the two of them. Judas played his own part. Peter played his own part. Glory be to God. It was part of the apostolic ministry. Until the day you catch that. Amen. You will not appreciate salvation. And why I'm saying this is so that we don't be quick to condemn anybody. There is a serpent seed. It's a past serpent seed. Don't be quick in doing that. It's not easy to identify a serpent seed like that. This is the only thing that we use immediately to identify a serpent seed. We have a reference point. The first visible serpent seed we know in the Bible is Cain. What was his identity? His identity, number one, is that nothing in him to repent. Even when God came personally and told him, "Where is your brother?" What did he say? "Am I my brother's keeper?" He killed his brother. His conscience does not affect him. But what of Judas? Matthew chapter 26. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 3. Sorry, chapter 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, what did he do? Repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, restitution. Saying, what did he say? What did he say? How can a serpent seed talk like that? A serpent seed can never repent. I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they say, what is that to us? Sit down to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Notice something. Where did he throw the pieces of silver? In the temple. He didn't throw it in the gutter. There is none of us has repented to that level of our past sins. Repented until he could not even forgive himself. Judas repented. Cain did not repent. Cain, because there is nothing in him to repent. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Take note that there are two types of sin. The pardonable sin and unpardonable sin. And the Bible says, for the purpose of our study, Matthew chapter 12, for emphasis, verse 31, 32, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven you unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man," if you like, say anything against Jesus, call him Beelzebub, call him a liar, call him whatever you do, anything you want to do in his earthly ministry, the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, he shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. The sin that Judas committed Was it against the Son of Man or against the Holy Ghost? Is that sin forgivable hereafter or not? It's forgivable. And he hung on the cross while he brought the Jews. We are finishing him, nailing him. He turned down and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Judas did not know that what he did will end up like that. And take note, these two groups of people, Judas and those Jews that hung Jesus Christ on the cross, Judas did not on his own go to betray Jesus. Jesus Christ was the one that released the demon to enter him. To fulfill all righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because when Jesus Christ, the Last Supper, said, one of you will betray me, everybody said, Is he I? Judas, as at that time, there was nothing in him in his plan to betray Jesus. Judas said, Is he I? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. The second group were those Jews that were saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Hallelujah. In Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah was sent by God to go and blinden the Israelites. They were under that blindness. And it was for a purpose. God blinded them so that they would not recognize him. So that salvation will come to us. Romans chapter 11. Let's read it. Glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Chapter 11, let's read verse 1. I said then, Romans 11 verse 1. I said then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 25. For I will not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Because it's a mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part, because it is not forever blindness. It's only for the season. It's happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And so, watch it. All Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, you Gentiles. But as touching the election, somebody shout election. That is the key. That is the key. Election. Election. They are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. They are for all Israel shall be saved. Or, when you talk of saved there, we are talking of life hereafter. We are talking of life hereafter. Because salvation is not now. Salvation will be finally established after the white throne judgment, after the rapture. Whatever we are doing now, hallelujah, is the salvation process. When you die now, hallelujah, as it is written of you, that is the place you will take. I will come to that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. A lot of us, when we look at Judas, we are looking at some wicked man. Amen. Let me quickly tell you, God is God, not a human being. Hallelujah. When you fall, he knows why you have fallen. He judges you according to the reason you fall. God will not send a demon to Judas and then again find him guilty at the same time of killing Jesus. God does not act like that. Until you understand how God works, you will not understand. Listen, church. Mercy and grace. Pray that God will help you to understand grace and mercy of God. We look at another example, for instance, that may bring out this thing. It is not how you determine Judas. It is what God has determined for him that matters. If it's left into our hands, you'll be like Hitler. You'll be like evil Luther. Those Lutherans, all those early people that they condemned the Jews that they killed Jesus. They were condemning the Jews. They were killing the Jews. They saw them as wicked people that kill an innocent man. And you forget that if they didn't do it, you won't be saved. And somebody said Jesus will have died anyhow, whether they killed him or not. That he will have died anyhow because God must save his people through the death of Jesus Christ. But he cannot bypass the script he has written from the foundation of the world. For that, in his wisdom, is how he has determined and planned it to be. And you cannot argue it. We are talking about eternal security. First and foremost, we saw in the book of Genesis chapter 35, just write these scriptures down. They are long reading, but we know about the 12 sons of Jacob. Complete, listed there. But there is a law that God gave in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Let's read that one. Chapter 29, Deuteronomy. Let me read it from verse 16 again. Deuteronomy chapter 29. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nation which you passed by, and you have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turned away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of this nation. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heard the words of this curse, that he blessed him in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to tests. Verse 20 is my emphasis. The Lord will not spare him. But then, the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. The Lord shall blot out the name of anyone that goes into idolatry. Any of the children of Israel that goes into fornication, spiritual fornication, idolatry, spiritual fornication, bowing down to other images other than the one true God of Israel. Anyone that does that, the Lord says, the name will be blotted out from under heaven. Go to chapter 22, Revelation. Chapter 22. And verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part. God shall take away his part out of the book of life. In Deuteronomy, he said his name shall be blotted out from under heaven. Here, his part shall be blotted out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Go to Luke chapter 10. Just for emphasis, I know many of you know where I'm going. Verse 17 to 20. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice rather. Why? Because your names are written in heaven. There are names that are written under heaven. And there are names that are written in heaven. The names that are written in heaven are names written before the foundation of the world. They are written in the book of life. The names that are written under heaven, they are the position you will occupy in the kingdom. And the here on earth, the role you will play on earth here. And you commit fornication, your name will be removed, blotted out. 12 tribes of Israel, Dan and Ephraim, they committed whoredom. They went and joined themselves with idols under Jeroboam. We know the story. God's anger, even in Judges, they did the same thing. And according to the law in Deuteronomy 29, their names have to be blotted out. And so here we are. When the 144,000, they were to be sealed. In Revelation chapter 7, 12 from every tribe to make 144,000, we don't see the name of Dan there. Why? Because his name has been removed as a punishment. So also, for joining himself with idols. So also, by the time we come to Ezekiel chapter 48, is a picture of the setting in the millennium when the whole 12 tribes again will be in their places. Dan is mentioned there again. That lets you know, blessed be the name of the Lord, that you fulfilled it here, but in the eternal age, you are restored. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Judas has to be replaced also. His name was blotted out. His name was removed. And when you are counting therefore the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, you will be counting the 12th person as Matthias. To fulfill the prophecy, he had to be replaced so that they will remain 12. But Jesus has his original 12. And Judas' name is among. And please, let me correct myself again. We have taught several times that Apostle Paul is the 12th disciple. No. In the fulfillment of the script that has been written from the foundation of the world, Paul has his own. None of the 12 disciples was a star messenger. The seven-star messengers in the right hand of Jesus Christ did not include the 12 disciples. They have their own role to play. Apostle Paul is one of the seven-star messengers. The first from where we pick the others from. He cannot play dual role. He cannot be a star messenger and be among the 12 disciples again. He had his own part to play. He was a star messenger for the age. A different role from the 12 disciples. Therefore, Matthias filled in the gap to make them 12. But in the resurrection, before the throne of God in Revelation chapter 4, the 24 elders there, 12 patriarchs of Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob, Dan is there. 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, Judas too must be there to make the 24 elders before the throne. But his position, he lost it here on earth. That is eternal security. That is the doctrine of predestination. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that you understand 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read it. Watch the language there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll soon finish. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now see where I am going. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. He will suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. So as by fire. You will be saved. Because you have eternal life. It cannot be cut short. But your reward, you will lose it. For the way you worked for God. For the way you live your life here. You will lose your reward. 1 Corinthians, also chapter 5. This is where Apostle Paul spoke concerning that man that took his father's wife. He had the Holy Ghost, but he took his father's wife. Verse 5. That should deliver such a one unto Satan. Deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. See the way he put it there. Let the flesh be destroyed, but the spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord. He will lose his reward. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me give you another example. We all know the story of Joseph. If I give you this one, and you don't catch it again, I don't know how you will ever catch anything again. Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ. Am I correct? Everything about Joseph was a story, a shadow, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the spiritual one among his father's children. And he was given a revelation. He was destined to be a king. That even his father, his mother, all his brethren, they will bow before him. Why did they crucify Jesus? Because he said he's the son of God. If he says he's the son of God, it means he said he's God. It means we're going to worship you. That was why they killed Jesus. Because he said you are son of God. And because Joseph was spiritual, his brothers decided to finish him. What did they do? They threw him in a pit and covered it. They killed him. To them, they meant to kill him. As far as they were concerned, they killed him, they covered him, and went home to lie. One beast, don't chop your son where you love. The Bible says he was beloved of the father, and the father made him a coat, a designer suit of many colors. So the children, others were jealous. Jesus Christ was so spiritual, he was clothed with glory. until the high priest, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious people, they are God jealous. And that's why they killed him. And that's why too, let's see how this your vision will come to pass. They threw him there. And they forgot. As far as those other 11 children of Jacob were concerned, including Jacob, Joseph was dead and gone. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But we see something here in Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. Okay. Let me read it from verse 1. Now, we know the story. Now, Joseph was sent to prison. The one that they thought they have finished. Now, famine has come in the land. Unknown to them, a destruction was coming in the land. And Joseph was sent in advance. Hey. Joseph was sent in advance. So that he will preserve the heritage of God. A famine was coming. A destruction was coming. And somebody that will save God's elect. But how will they do it? By his own design. God's own design. Joseph proved it from verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by. And he cried, cause every man to go up from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. See? For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years had the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be a ring nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. I am speaking about Joseph, a type of Jesus Christ. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. It was not Judas that sent Jesus to the cross, but who? It was God. Why he was saying this? Reuben was there. The one that pushed him there, they were there looking at him, or that killed him that day. And he was looking at him. It's not you that killed me, Judas. It was God. But God, and he had made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. At the mention of the name of Joseph, every knee bows. You cannot get to Pharaoh till you go through Joseph. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus said thy son Joseph, God has made me lord of all the world. Egypt, come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. If you don't catch election, God's mercy, here in the story of Joseph, you will still stand there and be condemning Judas and not knowing that you are condemning God. You are condemning God. It was God that staged it to save his people. And notice, while Joseph was there, he was selling food. He was selling food. He was selling food. Hallelujah. All the nations that were coming to Egypt, where food now abounded, because the son of prosperity was on the throne. Hallelujah. He was giving them. But when he came to his brethren, the rest, they were paying for it. But when he came to his brethren, do you know that he gave them free? The gift of God, eternal life, is a free gift to his own. A free gift. Because the price has already been paid on the cross of Calvary. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we see it demonstrated in the resurrection, Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. Hallelujah. Okay. Chapter 12 and verse 10. When the resurrection of Judah will take place. I mean Israel will take place. Verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the house of the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And see where I am going. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourning for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Chapter 13 and verse 6, where he'll be revealing himself to his people after the rapture of the grace age finishes. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those wounds, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. They were not serpents. They were his friends. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They were his friends. Hallelujah. Who is an Israelite? Because another question is, the Apostle Paul in verse 6, Romans chapter 9, said not all Israel are of Israel. And there's a tendency for you, some even argue, that some of the disciples were not Jews. No. I've not seen it that way. All the disciples were Jews. The reason is this. In his earthly ministry, he made it loud and clear that he did not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He had nothing to do with the Gentiles when he first came. He came only for the Jews. Hallelujah. Therefore, the 12 disciples were holy Jews. Judas was a Jew. And who is an Israelite? We are talking about a promise. They are children of a covenant. We are also Jews. Romans 2:28 tells us who a Jew is. We are also, that also brings us into that same definition of who a Jew is. It's by a covenant. What God is looking at is his covenant. He had covenant with Abraham and his seed after him. That's why he said, for the sake of the gospel, they are God's enemies. But for election, for the Father's sake, they are elect of God. He cannot do away with them. He cannot break his covenant. Once you are a seed of Abraham through the promise God had that came forth through Isaac, you are the beloved for the Father's sake, a covenant he entered. And they all came under the blood of those animals that atoned for their sins, no matter what degree of sin it was. And if anyone broke the law, those same his people, they stoned them to death. Death was a punishment. And that you die because you commit a sin here does not stop you from being elect according to the promise he had with the fathers. And that's why all Israel shall be saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are also sealed by that same blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that salvation is by election. It is grace, not works. You do nothing to be an Israelite. There is nothing you have done to be an Israelite other than the fact that you were born an Israelite. It is your birth that brought you under that covenant. Because you were born an Israelite, you automatically come under that covenant. So also, once you are born again by the Spirit of the living God, you come under this same new covenant, the election. He gives you eternal life. You remain his own by birth. Except you are born again by the Spirit and of water, you cannot enter the kingdom. Eternal life is a free gift, but you work your reward. You work your reward. You earn your reward. That's exactly what we see in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 to verse 8. Can we read it? Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. He says, and you, praise God, Ephesians chapter 2, correct? He says, and you has he quickened, all of us, who we are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walking in the children of disobedience, among whom also you all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we are by nature, the children of wrath, condemned, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You will lose your position, and another man will take it. Esau, he lost his position as the first son. He lost his position. The inheritance, the firstborn inheritance, he lost it. And another man took it over. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But watch it. It did not stop him from being the son of Isaac. There is nothing you, as an individual, you that have a son. Papa, how many people here are fathers? Just raise up your hand, please. Let me see you. If you have a child, can you just wave your hand? Thank you, brother. I want you to understand what I'm saying. No matter how bad your son is your son. I've said it over and over and over and over. No matter what your son does, he never ceases to be your son. Forever! You will answer your surname. Hey. But when it comes to inheritance, you must earn it. Work out your salvation. Church, I am bringing this out here to make us understand something many of us are joking with. I'm not bringing this out for you to relax. Church, there is eternity. There is an eternal age to come. In eternity, what you earn, the position you become, remains eternal. The glory that will be bestowed on you will remain eternal. And the glory you will have in the eternal age, it is now. After your salvation, this is the time you earn it. By the life you live. Many of us have not caught this revelation of the glory that awaits us. Grace only gives you life. But the position to occupy in that life will be determined by how you live your life here. You either lose that position or you earn a crown. Many of us, I am talking to the children of God. Those who are sure they have eternal life. That you don't play with it. That there is a responsibility that is placed before us. God gives you eternal life, but leaves you to end the position you will be hereafter. Has it occurred to you how miserable you will be when you have nothing, nothing? You just live of the lowest level of angels, of the children of God. You are the lowest level. Nothing, nothing. You are in charge of nothing. You have no authority. Because opportunity was given to you, you lost it because of the things you are looking for here on earth. The vanities of life. That's all. Let's say be the name of the Lord. Yes. Here. The position starts even from here. The position you're supposed to occupy. There are many of us that live under a privileged life. Even now. Because of the life we live. The peace you're supposed to have, you don't have it. Yet you have the Holy Ghost. You are either a good child or you are a bad child. Or you are still a child of your father. And maybe there is somebody here that you are playing with your eternal life. The life that you live hereafter. I want you to note, praise God, hell was not designed for you. The lake of fire is not designed for the children of God. We are not the children of wrath. They are out there. They have nothing to do with God. But you, that God called by himself, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. That is something I just want to emphasize. It's not about Judas. It is about you joking with your life and losing your position. I want to stop so far.